every player can be replaced.
He was the club. The
Malu takes any club. Opportunity to remind us, huh?
They start becoming these puppeteers, right, in the entire system. Bebe.
Bebe. So the way they look at managers and the way they look at players as terms of investment is very different.
He's a loose cannon, man. He's a total loose cannon.
Everyone's helpless at the end of the day.
Any club that is losing their biggest player, don't worry. You'll be good again in 6 years.
He's a complete shitbag.
He can't do anything about it.
Hi, guys. Welcome to All About Sports, the podcast. You guys are joined by our regular hosts, Mazhar, Rishabh, and myself, Shubham. Our previous episode, we discussed doping in sports and doping in the Olympics and different athletes who have doped and their consequences in their career. Today's episode is going to be about football. And we'll be discussing whether football players have become bigger than their club. Today, we obviously have some, not just today, we've always had world-class players who've had massive impacts on their clubs. But can those players be considered to be bigger than the club, where they can have crazy demands, where they can push the club to extremes? So that is what we'll be discussing today. One thing, we'll directly dive into this topic. And one thing which I personally feel is, and especially this has also been said by a lot of legendary managers, let it be Fergie, let it be Wenger, Mourinho, all of them in some interview or the other during their career, they have mentioned that no player is bigger than the club. This is a belief that all of them have had. In fact, even most recently, Ronaldo, Real Madrid legend, and perhaps I don't think there'll be any other player who would break his records. Whatever, we never know in the future, but as of now, it doesn't look like it. Even when he left the club, everyone was like, oh my God, Ronaldo is gone and Real Madrid are nothing without him and XYZ. And at that point in time, Sergio Ramos stood up and he was like, he cryptically said that there's no player bigger than the club. Every player can be replaced. And obviously, there are fantastic players who come in, who have a major impact, but then they go and then other players come in as well. And you, I think one of the biggest examples is the Real Madrid Galactico era, where the entire squad was just full of world-class players. But after that also, Real Madrid did build another squad where they won 3 Champions League back-to-back. So again, it becomes a situation of... I personally don't think there can ever be a situation where a certain one specific player or a group of players can be bigger than the club. But that is what we'll be discussing today. And Mazhar, what do you think about this? Do you think a single player or couple of players can be bigger than a club?
So Shubham, a perfect example is Ronaldo. I think when it comes to, is a player bigger than the club? And it brings up that debate perfectly. Now, with Ronaldo, things started before Real Madrid as well, right? It started with his time with Manchester United, where he really turned over a new leaf, became this complete superstar, led United to winning the Champions League again after 9 seasons in 2008. Ferguson let go of him because, well, it came back to the fact that he said no player is bigger than the club, and it was Ronaldo's dream to leave. Now, so you can't keep him against his wishes, obviously. And but he was so integral and important. But the show goes on. United still went on to continuously dominate, at least as long as Alex Ferguson was there.
I think we won 2 Premier League titles after Ronaldo as well, and we made it to 1 Champions League final.
Exactly.
Malu takes any opportunity to remind us, huh? Any opportunity to remind us of this.
Well, you specifically. I'm more than happy.
I know.
But coming back to that, basically, Sir Alex Ferguson proved that no player is bigger than the club because he was the club. And we see that now with Manchester United, how integral and important Sir Alex Ferguson was to their success. So, and he had a very good statement that he made, and he took it to the board when he was in charge, and he said, no player should be paid more than the manager. And, well, we're seeing that change now. Players in Manchester United are getting paid more than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Pogba's getting paid more. I believe De Gea's getting paid more. So, it's definitely becoming like that. And I think a lot of the agents are a reason for this commercialization and this money being such a big part of it. that they don't care anymore. I think loyalty is slowly dying in football as well, as we are seeing in basketball.
I actually don't think loyalty exists anymore in football.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
gone are those times where you have a Giggs or a Scholes or a Lampard or a Terry, it's finished.
Very rarely. Yeah, exactly, Shubham. And I the agents have to be blamed. I wouldn't even say commercialization so much so, but it's definitely the agents who are so money hungry and power hungry that they start manipulating the news. They start becoming these puppeteers, right, in the entire system. So I'm not sure you can say players particularly have become bigger than the clubs. It's the situations around it that have made it the case. I don't know what take you guys have on it, but that's my take.
Just one thing, Rishabh, sorry, one thing before you say what you have to say. So Mazhar, you mentioned, like Fergie said, that no player should be paid more than the manager. Now here we're talking about Fergie, who was basically in charge for 27 years, perhaps the greatest manager of all time. Now today we have Solskjaer. And we have players like Pogba, World Cup winner. He's won everything with Juve. You have David De Gea, World Cup winner. I think Euros winner as well, won everything, pretty much everything with United, as compared to Solskjaer. What has he won? He's won nothing, right? So in a situation like that, when we're talking about salary, how do you justify telling a World Cup, world-class player that we can't pay you more than, like, say, for example, £100,000 because your manager is getting that much salary? Who's won nothing? So again,
I understand and I agree with that. But who put the ball in the Germans' net in 1999? Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was the integral, or rather the most important piece to that puzzle when Manchester United won 3 trophies and achieved that unimaginable treble, right? The only English club to have done it. What I'm trying to say is, it's obviously there's no comparison in terms of what they've achieved as players. But if you are managing and handling players, the biggest players in one of the biggest clubs in the world, I think that directly, or rather, it's a given that they should be better paid, and they are the biggest person in that club. At the end of the day, it's up to Solskjaer. If he wants to say, De Gea, no, you sit down, Dean Henderson is going to play, what can De Gea do? He can't do anything about it. So, I mean, he can throw a tantrum, and then the same Pogba sort of situation can happen where the agent comes and makes such utterly shameful statements. But
that's the max that he can do, right?
Yeah.
And Shubham, that comes back to Ozil, right? Ozil's another example of that, where, well, whatever the stand is, there's political agendas involved in that for the certain things that Ozil has said and done. Maybe that's at the back. No one really knows the actual story. But Ozil's not playing. Even though he's still one of the better players in that side, Arteta took the call, he's not playing. So
I want to push back a little bit on this. And here's what I will say. Because I actually really enjoyed this era of players having so much power. And I think we're making a slight difference. I don't think players have become, I mean, there are, firstly, it's a small sampling of players. There's a small sampling of players that potentially are bigger than the manager, not the club. And I think, and management, they've gotten way more power over the manager and management than we've seen in the past. And personally, I am a big fan of it, because managers and management, especially if you're in a situation of poor management, typically players have not had a lot of power to do really much about it. But in this current environment, players have a lot more power to instigate their own moves, instigate their own motions to a different club. Now, agents are a different question. Agents are irresponsible. I'm not going to talk so much about agents, because I do feel agents are a little more irresponsible and a little more irresponsible with even making decisions that might not be in their players' best interests, but make like some boisterous statement that causes trouble for their team. So I think one thing to keep in mind is just, at the end of the day, I do believe that the most valuable asset to a team is largely, especially on some of the larger teams, is their biggest player. I want to take the example of Ronaldo. Ronaldo at Juventus, right? When Ronaldo moved to Juventus, I know there are a few different aspects by which we can look at bigger, but I want to look at why Ronaldo is, I'm pretty sure I need to confirm this, but is probably paid for sure more than their coach, Pirlo, right now. The impact of Ronaldo on Juve's finances. in the 24 hours after Ronaldo joined Juventus, between July 10th and July 11th, Juve's various, you know, whatever their social media accounts were boosted by more than 2.2 million followers. Their Instagram followers rocketed from 9.8 million to 33.5 million. Even their TV rights and things like that, while they don't, well, you know, the TV right contracts are kind of agreed beforehand, but if there is an increase in subscribers or business results, they would get an extra 150 million euros and increase their TV deal to, you know, 1.4 million. So they get 150 million euros more. In terms of ticket sales, within 72 hours of Ronaldo's unveiling at Turin, they sold out 29,300 seasonal tickets within 72 hours, even though there was a 30% hike in the ticket sales for that season. So my point is, players from a revenue perspective are generating far more attention than a manager, barring some exceptional cases, barring maybe a Jose Mourinho, barring maybe a Pep Guardiola. So financially, they are the biggest drivers of impetus and financial boost into a sport. Even kid deals, for example. So the way kid deals work is, I know there is a bit of a fallacy that, you know, shirts pay for the transfer. That may not be true, but they do lead to an increase in shirt sales, which at least a percentage of which goes to the club. A large percentage of it just stays with the manufacturer or whatever the kit manufacturer is, but a percentage of which goes to the club. So I actually do enjoy, and I quite enjoy seeing players get more and more power, because revenue wise they are the biggest contributors, even if they may not be the primary decision makers on what is happening in the game, which is why I'm really excited to see these cases where players are getting as much as they are, honestly.
So, Krishnan, I think you perfectly summarized everything around Ronaldo and the time he moved to Juventus. And the proof is his salary is $70 million for the year. His net worth is $500 million. Juventus, the value of the team before Ronaldo's acquisition was $0.81 billion. Post his acquisition, it doubled nearly to $1.51 billion. And then you properly put that into perspective. So, yes, there are exceptions. And those are, again, exceptional cases where those players are so big and definitely bigger than the club, because they've created that brand value for themselves. Ronaldo being one, Messi being another. I feel like even Zlatan Ibrahimovic has done it to a certain point. So, definitely agree with you on that. But it's a general basis thing, right, as well.
Because you were mentioning managers and players, also, if you think about it, I also think from the board or from the club owner's perspective, the way they look at managers and the way they look at players as terms of investment is very different. A player, when they sign, other than the fact that sometimes it's a huge transfer fee, whatever the fee might be, players are generally given a 5 to 6 year contract, because the management or the board or the owners have that much sort of belief that this is the amount of investment we can do in a player and this is what we expect in return. How many managers are given 5 or 6 year contracts? You hardly find managers who get those sort of contracts. So I also feel like, just based on the structure of a manager's contract deal as compared to a player's, it feels like managers do not, they do not have an upper hand over the player. There are very few managers who have the sort of backing. In today's game, probably you can think of Klopp, Pep, who might have 100% backing. How many other managers are left in the game who have that sort of backing? So I also feel it's got a lot to do with the board, the management, and the owners.
Correct. I completely agree with that. I think a good example of that was, I think, Dimitri Payet at West Ham. I can't remember when it was, maybe about 2 or 3 seasons back, but it became pretty clear, I think, sometime in his second season, where he wasn't willing to play for West Ham, and there was just a complete deadlock. And Slaven Bilic was caught in between this crossroads between management and the player, where the management is kind of like, no, you got to convince him to play. You have to convince him to come back here and play. You have to convince him to come back here and play. And Dimitri Payet was not willing to play. He wanted to leave West Ham and head back to France. And I do agree that managers sometimes do get caught in this crossroads between management and a player. So I do admit, manage your powers becoming smaller and smaller as there are, because I also think management is expanding in football. We're getting more like director of football positions. There are more intermediate positions, more strategic positions in management and football that are being added in, that are diminishing the power of the manager. And another thing is immediate, like you said, Malu, the immediate expectations are now very high for managers. Very few teams are now willing to go, yeah, we're willing to give you 5 years to develop this squad. You've got to figure it out in 2 to 3 years. The reason I believe on average, I don't think players have more power than teams is because I think so much of what a team is now is actually defined by management. See, football, unlike, say, a basketball, is an 11-man sport. Even Messi, who is the best player, I'd argue the best player in the world, has some reliance on 10 other people. He can't bring the ball up from the back. He does not bring the ball up from the back. So in an 11-man team, even the person who is the best or the greatest may not have as much individual control over the entire organization. The second thing I think is important to consider is where is the club on its trajectory, correct? If you look at, say, a Dimitri Payet in Marseille, if you look at a Jack Grealish in Aston Villa, when you look at, let's say, an Aubameyang when he was at Saint Etienne, in situations like that, players start to become bigger than the club because it's a really small club and they're obviously players who are much, in terms of value, are starting to be looked at by clubs.
It's also in terms of ambition.
Correct.
It also becomes ambition.
Correct.
That sometimes the player's ability is so much more that the club that they're currently playing at, they can't cope up. They don't have the same group of elite players around that one individual player. So it becomes ambition also.
Correct. So I think that's a situation where it becomes more of a question, right? Like, I think maybe, you know, Ross Barkley's last year at Everton, it was very apparent that his value is far exceeding the team. And that's when a player starts to get more power, player starts to get more, more sane to what they can do. So I think it also depends a little bit on the trajectory of the club potentially.
And you know, it's interesting that you mentioned how sometimes it is about the player questioning the ambition of the club as against his own. So I remember, I might be a little wrong in this, but I think it was Fergie who in one of his interviews, if Fergie would have still been at United, I don't think Rooney would have been at United. I think Fergie was ready to sell Rooney. Because I think in one of his interviews, he did mention that Rooney's questioning Manchester United's ambitions. Because I think City at that point in time had influxed a lot of money and I think Rooney's head was turned and stuff like that. Had Fergie been in charge, he would have probably shown Rooney the door. But that wasn't the case when Moyes came in. So that I think just ties back to the fact that if there's a strong manager in charge who has everything under control and has grips of the club, then there's no player who can mess around. Or otherwise, then you can always have like a Pogba or a Rooney at that point in time, or whichever player, whenever, who can always like, you know, push their weight around a little bit.
Yeah, which actually now brings me back to one main thing. We've not discussed the agents and what sort of influence, or in terms of the monetary values of influence that they bring to these players, right? We know for a fact that Pogba has made some absolutely ridiculous statements, but he's not the first one to do it, saying that it's his dream to play for Real Madrid. Ronaldo did it. He's not hated by most United fans. Pogba's getting a lot of flack for it because firstly, of course, he's not performed at the levels we know he's capable of on a consistent basis. So that's one reason why he's got a lot of hate and a lot of slack for it. But it comes back to his agent being the biggest pain in the ass for most fans and any football fan in general, right? Because he literally makes him seem much bigger than he is. No doubt, I'm a big fan of Pogba as a player. I think he's fantastic. He definitely makes any team better. But when you behave like this and when your agent goes around passing statements like he's done it for this club and it's going to be hard to sell him in January because he's such a big player, so he'll mostly go next year. On the eve of the biggest game of their season at that point in time when they had to play their Champions League do or die game against RB Leipzig, it's just absolutely... At that point, even the club or someone of no matter whose stature, let's say even if it was a Pep Guardiola in that case, they're helpless, right? So those certain attributes of certain agents just make it so ugly and make it so much harder for a team to recover from that, that you can't help but think that the players become bigger than the club. Now, I just wanted to also mention a few things about Mino Raiola, who is Pogba's agent. Well, he's got 72 big clients. He earned $70.3 million in commissions in 2019. He has negotiated contracts worth $703 million. He has his own agency, firstly, the Mino Raiola agency. And just some of his clients: Paul Pogba, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Erling Braut Haaland, Mario Balotelli, fine, forget about him now. Mkhitaryan, I mean, again, you're selling these players' stocks, right? Based on those one or two seasons, golden seasons they had at their previous clubs. Matthias De Ligt, well, we've just seen him. After he's gone to Juventus, he's just been on the downward curve instead of upward. Romelu Lukaku, Moise Keane, Marco Verratti, can go on and on about the names. United was very disappointed when Jesse Lingard went ahead and signed with Mino Raiola. There were some statements.
I think he left him since then.
Is that the case? I think
he's now being managed by his family.
Oh, that's fantastic. But because United were not too happy about that, especially being a Manx boy. They did not like the fact that he had signed up with Mino Raiola. So there's also one more example that I have, in fact, and that is Jorge Mendes. Now, Jorge Mendes, for all those who don't know, is Cristiano Ronaldo's agent, but he's not the only player under him. And he earned $118 million in sports agent commissions last year. He has even more clients than Mino Raiola.
He's Mendes was the big one before Raiola, I believe.
Yes, he was. Definitely. Ronaldo is what he is because of Jorge Mendes at the end of the day. He negotiated that sly contract to bring Di Maria to United. So he's a great businessman. He's not made too many of these.
Dude, he got Bebe to United. He sold Fergie on Bebe.
Oh, God. I had no idea about that.
Yeah, but you just look at his agent.
Shit, man. Oh my God. Look where Ronaldo and look where Bebe is. Man, you can literally respect, man. That Mendes, just, respect.
I think that could perhaps be a great example of just agent power. The fact that he had that much power and influence at a club that he could sell someone like Bebe. So you can imagine what they can do with world club players.
My point, right? So I just feel that all of these. I especially feel that a primary factor for why players are considered bigger than the clubs are because of the influence of agents now. Agent power is so big that everyone's helpless at the end of the day. Like I said, right? Mino Raiola comes out, makes such a statement. What can anyone do? You can't have Manchester United coming out and making a statement saying Paul Pogba's our player after that. You've lost the faith of everyone already. So,
and there's one thing very interesting that I'd like to add, especially about Mendes and Mino Raiola that you mentioned. Both these agents, and I'm just talking specifically about United because I know a lot more as compared to other clubs. If you guys have any examples, please add in. But both these agents at certain times have had a lot of their clients playing for United. So when you have multiple players playing for one club, you automatically get that much more of a command or a foothold of that club. And you can sort of dictate the terms. For example, Mino Raiola at a point had Pogba, Ibrahimovic, Lukaku, Mkhitaryan, all four starting 11 players playing for United. Mendes at a point had Ronaldo, Nani, Anderson. Then later on, he had Falcao, Angel Di Maria.
Bebe.
So he had all these world-class starting 11 players in the United team. So obviously, when you have that much clout and that much investment that a club has done into players and you're managing those players. So like Mazza said, agents can perhaps dictate terms to the clubs and maybe they can make their clients believe that, guys, we can pull the shots. We are the bigger ones here. We have got nothing to lose. And maybe that can turn the heads of players.
No, that I have to concede to that point. I do think, Matt, agents have given players a sense of self-importance where they believe that they can they can be primary decision makers in their future and go against the contract. And I think that's where the issues kind of get highlighted, when there is a lack of professionalism on the part of the player and the part of the agent is when we kind of get reminded on it. But I like that you compared those two, Mazhar, because in a lot of instances, we saw Jorge Mendes' clients, at least Cristiano Ronaldo, for example, there has been a level of professionalism he has showed in his entire career. Whether or not he's gotten what he's wanted, he has performed. We've known for a while, even at Real Madrid, he had some issues with Fiorentina Perez. He performed at his highest level the entire time he was there. I think another good example is, you know, someone like a Christian Eriksen, right? Christian Eriksen very apparently made it clear to his club he wanted to leave. And his club did right by him and got him a good opportunity at Inter Milan. Now, it's not worked out, but it's what he wanted. It's what, and the club made it work for him. I think what's changed now is that there are players who will not give. The problem is, I think there are certain players and certain agents who have convinced their players that they don't have to give their club time at all. The moment they feel they are unhappy, they should be allowed to leave. And obviously, that is not a situation that, frankly, most clubs can work out, because most clubs aren't able to get back a transaction in such a short span of time that sometimes a player expects or not. So that I completely admit, where there are certain agents who have inflated the head of the player. And we only see that it seems to inflate itself and look larger than it is, because players are the voices we hear the most, right? There are not so many people following, agents. No one's following agents or even managers' Twitters or even like Ed Woodward's Twitter as many people who would be following Paul Pogba's Twitter. So the truth is, their voice in the ethosphere is very loud. But at the end of the day, I still feel like their decision-making power is higher than it used to be because of agents, but still low compared to management.
Just one thing about the Mendes and Raiola comparison that Mazhar mentioned and that you mentioned, Krishnan. I think both these guys, although they have had and they still continue to have a big presence and power in the game of football, I think Mendes and his clients have always conducted themselves very well. The only one client of his who I have my doubts about was Angel Di Maria. But other than that, every single client conducted themselves professionally. And so has Mendes. I've never heard Mendes come out and make like random statements in the press, bullshitting about a club or saying how his players are unhappy. But Raiola is just like, I remember Fergie said in one of his interviews, he's a complete shitbag. And I think that is what he is.
He's a loose cannon, man. He's a total loose cannon. He needs to get his Twitter account like taken away from someone else should manage it.
Now that you mentioned Mino Raiola again, I just wanted to bring up one player who I feel no matter what he does, somehow just gets away with it, right? And that's Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Now, he's definitely, at least once he's gone to Milan, he's proven that he's I'm figuratively bigger than the club, right? Milan pretty much didn't have much of a standing before he joined, and he's become this absolute maverick in front of goal.
I'm
not sure, but he's been to so many clubs now and all the top clubs that we've lost track only. But the point is, his net worth is $190 million. Now, okay, net worth is separate. He has his sponsorship deals, he has all of that, he's the king of Sweden in a lot of ways. He's just such a positive influence in general. Even he was liked at United as well. He didn't leave on bad terms with the club. It was his injury that sort of forced him out of the club. If someone like Zlatan, I know he's cocky and all, but he does it for the fun of it, right? He says certain things because he likes to garner that media attention. He likes to be in the limelight, basically. But again, he's another player who backs it up. He's performed. Even with United, yes, his conversion rate was utterly dismal. He still got 20-plus goals for the club. He's doing incredibly well in the Serie A. He's the leading goal scorer right now. What I'm trying to say is, even he's a Mino Raiola client. If there were, he's always given 100% on the pitch, like you said. And this is where I think Paul Pogba has really been a letdown for a lot of people. That I think too many things affect Pogba mentally. And I think that mindset of his has also led to people thinking that he's become bigger than the club. I don't think so much so that it's necessary that it's only like on Mino for coming out and making such statements, but those statements have affected him also then.
No, I think that's a good point. And I think it pivots into a good point of, is the player bigger than the club? So we talked a little bit about, you know, the financial sense and then the attention that they draw to the club. But how much impact do you think players have in terms of the image of the club? And second, the style of football of the club. I do think the area that they start to have the highest impact is actually the image of the club. That's the thing that takes the biggest hit. I think United's taken, you know, might have taken a bit of a hit because of that. Because like we mentioned, their voice is bigger than probably any other player. In terms of style of football of the club, I think they have very little impact because the manager conducts anything. But the thing that they do affect, even if it's not maybe style, is success of the team, morale of the team, confidence of the team. We've noticed in so many instances when your biggest player is the player wanting to leave, trying to pressure their team to leave, the entire morale of the team is decreased. And very, very rarely do you see a team in that situation being phenomenally successful.
But do you actually feel, Krishna, like even some of the biggest names, like you take, for example, Ronaldo, he left United, United still won. He left Real Madrid still won La Liga. Okay, they've not won the Champions League, but they've also gone through a major overhaul. But I don't personally feel like, okay, maybe if a big player leaves, it can have an impact. Like, for example, Ronaldo leaving Real Madrid, you don't have a striker who gets you 50 goals a season. But does it really make that much of a difference in terms of the success of the club as a whole, in terms of competing, winning trophies? I think every player can be replaced, or the style of the way they play football tactically can be changed so that maybe that player is not needed anymore because they've changed the way they play football now. So yeah, that is just the thought I have. Like, I don't feel there's ever a time where a certain player leaves the club and the club is screwed up. You can always find a replacement or change the way you play football.
No, that I completely agree. I completely agree. See, style of football, I actually think the player, even when they're there, they don't impact so much because the manager really determines that. Like, Ronaldo has played, like when he plays with Mourinho, he plays Mourinho's system. He plays Sarri, he plays Sarri's system. So that I totally agree. Replaceability becomes harder at the highest rungs, right? I think a Messi, Ronaldo, even potentially a Neymar, replaceability becomes pretty hard. But I do agree that, yes, most teams, what caveat is, most teams in the rung of Man United, Real Madrid, PSG, Barcelona can recover. Teams in the rung of even, say, an Arsenal may not have ever recovered from losing Thierry Henry. You know, it depends on the rung you're in. It depends on which bracket of, you know,
that's a great point.
Mega teams you're in.
Yeah, because and I think we have the perfect example also. Sheffield United. They have not changed their team whatsoever. They just lost Dean Henderson, their goalkeeper. Their style of play hasn't changed. Nothing has really changed barring their goalkeeper. But what went wrong? No one really knows, right? So then it gets you wondering, was Dean Henderson that important or integral in goal, where they just had such a chemistry in their, like, with their back four plus the keeper, so five? Or is there something else that has influenced it, right? To win, just to have not won a game till date in the Premier League this season is crazy. So, Krishna, I think you're absolutely right with smaller teams.
I think a counter-example to that could be, like, for example, Leicester. Leicester, now compared to the Big Four, Big Six, aren't that big. But they have, over the years, lost Mahrez. They have lost Maguire. And who was that centre mid they lost?
Kante.
Yeah. And they are still playing very well.
But they're not winning the league.
Winning the league was a freak, man. That was impossible.
Whatever. But if they were significant and crucial parts to maintaining that consistency.
I think like last season, I think till before Christmas or even like after New Year's, they were in places for the top four. They have consistently, after winning the league, also performed, even though they have lost big players. So that again, I think it is like a counter example to what you said. So you can look at it in both ways, I guess.
And I think that comes back to what Krishnan said, right, about the management.
Yeah.
And that's why maybe the management will always be bigger than the club. Yeah.
So I think now to wrap up, my say is that I don't think there's any player bigger than the club. I don't think there's any player who can't be replaced. I don't think there's any player who can have such a big impact in a club where once he leaves or he forces a move out, the club can't achieve anything or can't be successful. This is my closing words. What do you guys have to say?
No, I agree. For any club that is losing their biggest player, don't worry. You'll be good again in 6 years. Have faith. I do agree with that. I definitely think any team can recover. The onus is a little bit on management to stay the course, stay focused. And yeah, you can definitely get back to a good spot.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. Historically also, we've always seen it from the times of Beckham to now. Anyone can be replaced, no matter, even if they are two of the greatest players. We'll know about how... I mean, Barcelona's already struggling, right? So we'll see about what happens to Barcelona post-Messi as well. But yeah, I'm definitely on board with you guys. No players bigger than the club. It's just figuratively that they are.
The only one interesting thing is, commercially and specifically for two players, Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi, when Ronaldo leaves Juventus or Messi leaves Barcelona, the sort of commercial impact, I don't think there's any player who could match that or who could even come close to that. So in that aspect, yeah, you could say that this player meant everything to the club. But saying that they're bigger than the club, according to me, is a little far-fetched. But that is what we guys think. And to all our listeners tuning in and to all our viewers, please let us know your thoughts about this topic in the description below. Follow us on all our social media platforms. We are also available on different podcast platforms. So wherever you guys want to either tune in and listen to us or watch our video, please do so. Like, share, comment, and subscribe. And we'll be back again next week with another video. Till then, bye.